The story is told of a man who fell off a cliff. On the way down, he manages to grab a tree limb. Peering into the deep canyon, he calls out, "Help, please! Is anyone up there?" After an unbearable silence, the voice answers, "Yes, I'm here." "Who are you?" the man shouts. "It's me, the Lord." Greatly relieved, the man says, "Thank you. Have you come to rescue me?" "Yes," says the Lord. "Let go and I will catch you." The man thinks for a second and then asks, "Is there anyone else up there?" There are times in our life when it seems that we are falling off the edge of a cliff, times when our hearts are troubled with uncertainty and fear. In our desperation, we cry out for help. We look for someone or something to save us, to show us the way through the high ground to a safe place. And yet so often we seem to just look in the wrong place. Jesus calls out to us to let go and he will catch us. I guess we can't blame the man for not wanting to let go of the limb, but the reality is there is no one else up there, only the Lord who wishes us to let go so that he might save us. If there's one thing that the world needs in today's uncertain times, it's a remedy for troubled hearts. In the midst of wars and rumours of wars, school kids running around with guns, rampant terrorism, fear of the coronavirus, it's no wonder that people today have troubled hearts. What is it that people fear? Is it the possibility of an early or violent death? Is it that somehow they'll be cut off in their prime, unable to fulfil their life's dreams? Or is it that they will be caught up in the continuance of some kind of pseudo-life that goes on in an ever-quickening and ever-reducing spiral downwards, like falling off a cliff? A life that is sham-packed with dishonesty, hatred, pain and violence. A life that exhibits little satisfaction and even less meaning. I believe that it's not so much the fear of death that concerns people today. It's more the fear of life. It's the fear that comes by not knowing how to cope with all of these things that seem to confront us day by day, particularly now. Not knowing where to turn or where to run when the garbage dump of life seems to come crashing down around your ears. How can a person cope in a world racked by sin and degradation, by pain and loss? It would seem that there certainly is a market for either a way out or at least a way through. That's why so many people today are buying self-help books, books on popular psychology and New Age or Eastern mysticism. The bookshops are full of them. Disciples too knew about troubled hearts. They had just spent the better part of 3 years reveling in the wonder and the glory of Jesus as he travelled around Israel, teaching wonderful things about God and the kingdom of heaven, seeing and experiencing the miracles of healing and changed lives. But now a cloud of impending doom had settled over them. Jesus had just predicted his own death for the second time and had declared that even his disciples, even Peter, would in fact desert him. Their world was crashing down around them. As Jesus looked around at his disciples, he knew what was going on in their minds and in their hearts. He knew just how disturbed and upset they were, and he knew what was causing it. And what's more, he knew the remedy for it. Jesus knew that these men were indeed afraid. They were afraid of death, afraid that they, with him, were going to be executed by the Jews. They knew of all the opposition that which had developed against them in Jerusalem, the bitter hatred of the Pharisees, their determination to eliminate Jesus and all of his disciples. They knew they were in danger, and so their hearts were deeply troubled as they gathered here with him. But more than the physical danger to themselves, they were acutely aware of his words about leaving them. And it's this that had struck so much terror into their hearts. They were afraid that even though they might survive, even though they might escape death, they would have to go on living without him. And that was unbearable to them. They could bear to die with him, but they could not bear to live or die without him. And so as he gathers around them, he says these words to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." You see, the remedy for a troubled heart is contained in the two phrases which follow. Believe in God, believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. How? Believe in God. God, who is still in control, who knows what he is doing, who is capable of exercising infinite wisdom, infinite power, infinite love, and believe also in me. Jesus said, who is the means by which all of that wisdom and resource and power of God is made available to you. That is the answer to a troubled heart. Jesus strove to impress upon his disciples the fact that there was something hidden in that remarkable relationship between him and his Father. Believe in God, believe also in me. For between the Father and the Son, there is a relationship which is so important, so foundational, so fundamental that everything else grows out of it. The disciples' basic fear was that he was going to leave them and that they would have to face death and life without him. His reassuring word is, I'm not going to leave you. I'm coming to you again, and you will go to the place where I'm going. First of all, the Lord is going to come again in person to end their fear of death, so that death need hold no terror for them, as it need hold none for us. Secondly, he's going to come again by the Spirit to end their fear of life. He promises to be with them in all of their difficulties and problems in their life, in a living relationship based upon his relationship with the Father. I will not leave you desolate, he says. I will come to you. But here there arises some confusion among the disciples. Jesus tells them that they know the way, that they know where Jesus is going. But Thomas shook his head and said, no, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't even know where you're going. And Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. That's what I meant, Thomas. You know me, therefore you know the way, for I am the way. For all of us who travel life's journey, especially those who have troubled hearts for one reason or another, there are three things that will make that journey more meaningful and more enjoyable. A clear direction for your life's journey, an accurate understanding of your surroundings and the context in which our life is lived, and the freedom and the ability to have a fulfilled life. These three things are summed up in Jesus' words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to come to the Father, you must come through me. If you want to know the Father, you can only know him through me. While the world and, unfortunately, many churches teach that there are many ways, many truths, many lives, Jesus teaches that there is only one. One way, one truth, and one life. Jesus is not one way among many ways. He is not one truth among various truths. He is not one life among numerous kinds of lives. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the God the Father, the only truth who guides us into the truth by his word and spirit, the only life that conquers death and brings eternal life through his suffering, death, and resurrection. Jesus is the way. Thomas didn't understand that. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? You see, Thomas needed to know where he was going before he could know the way. I mean, that's usually how it works out, isn't it, if you want to go somewhere. But Jesus does more than show us the way. He is the way. He is the path to the Father. But Jesus is also the truth. I mean, truth is much more than an abstract concept or idea. Truth is real. Jesus is the truth. He is the truth about ourselves, the truth of who we really are, rebellious, self-centered, hateful, angry, greedy, and so on. But Jesus is also the truth about God. He reveals the Father's love to us. He shows us who God truly is. Jesus speaks the words the Father gave him to speak. He does the works the Father gave him to do. He shows the Father's heart, his will to save us. To see Jesus is to see the Father. To know Jesus is to know the Father. To believe in Jesus is to believe in the Father. There's no revelation of God, no vision, no dealing with God in his mercy and love apart from Jesus Christ. Philip, you see, wanted to divorce Christ and the Father, to see the Father somehow apart from the Son. Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Philippians speaks for every religion and every philosophy in the world that seeks to find God apart from Jesus. But Jesus directs Philip and us back to himself. Jesus is our truth, guiding us and sustaining us on our way to eternal life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life. Life in Christ is a life of fulfillment and meaning. He brings us to the end of our earthly life and gives us eternal life, his eternal life. Jesus said that he came that we might have life. And so to believe in him is to have life even though we die. We chase after all sorts of things that offer life, all the things that the world has to offer, but only he is alive. Only his death conquers sin, death, and the grave. Do you want relief for your troubled heart? Are you looking for the way? Are you looking for truth? Are you looking for life? Well, Jesus tells us that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He's the only way from death to life, from hell to heaven. He's the only truth that overcomes the lies that the world would have us believe. He's the only life that is eternal life. All roads, except for one, do lead to the same place, death and destruction. One road leads to eternal life with God, Jesus. Walk in him by faith, learn from him, live him. He is your way, your truth, and your life. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your tremendous reassurance to us as we face the unknown, as we face death, as we face life. We have these marvelous words of Jesus to rest upon. Let not your hearts be troubled. I will come again. I will come again at death. I will also come in life. And in all ways, Lord, your presence will be with us. We thank you for that. Help us to live on this basis today and every day, in this present 21st century hour, and to demonstrate the quality of life that Jesus lived. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen.